Welcome to, a podcast for people who ponder the puzzles of life. I'm Robert Krulwich.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from T. Rowe Price, managing investments for the long term with a consistent, disciplined approach. T. Rowe Price, invest with confidence at TRowePrice.com.
Well, this is the part of the Bryant Park Project where we take a person who I think is maybe one of the best radio reporters out there, Robert Krulwich, and take one of his awesome pieces that he's done for one of the other NPR shows, a piece that we hear and we can't stop talking about it.
It's a staff pick.
It is a total staff pick. And this guy is like my radio hero. And today he's got a story about something that you can't control, something you can't resist, something that is a little understood, but we all do it anyway. Here's Robert Krulwich.
Now, you're a very silly person. This could really deteriorate here, but we won't go there, okay?
Oh, yes, we will. This is Provine's idea. It's not mine.
This excites you.
Robert Provine teaches psychology at the University of Maryland. He's the author of a major book on laughter, and he saw that famous Monty Python sketch when he was a kid about a joke so funny that it's lethal, literally lethal. If you remember, at the start of the skit, six people hear a joke that you're never allowed to hear, be too dangerous. They so can't stop laughing that one by one, they die. Here's the first one. Second, the joke's so funny that here's third. It's literally a killer. And then here comes the fifth, and then the sixth. It's like a doomsday joke. So Provine thought, why not take this same idea and try it for yawns?
It would be really cool if we could come up with
what?
The pursuit of the doomsday yawn.
Not a yawn that kills, but a yawn so powerful, it would make everybody who sees it, everybody, yawn back. This would be the totally contagious yawn.
Basically, I thought it would be fun coming up with sort of like the ultimate yawn stimulus, the supranormal stimulus.
Which would be what exactly? Because if you ask yourself,
what makes a person yawn when they see another yawning face? It must be the gaping mouth.
And therefore, there must be some perfect shape for a gaping mouth with perfect timing, perfect sound that would make a yawn so irresistible.
Oh, we could develop a super gaping mouth, a super yawn stimulus.
So Robert Provine got some of his students to yawn. First on videotape. It was, he says,
5-minute series of repeated yawns.
Nothing special, which he then played in his classrooms, and he discovered that a basic yawn medley creates a yawn response in about 55% of his viewers. 55%, which didn't seem like a lot.
Well, in a laboratory-type situation, 55% of people actually yawn.
That is a lot, he says, for actual yawns.
Virtually everyone reported being tempted to yawn.
And it didn't matter, by the way, whether the yawning faces were turned upside down, or tilted, or totally sideways, or whether they were black and white, or whether they were in color. Still, 55% of the audience yawned. So, the goal, then, was to move up, if he could figure out how, to the ultimate 100% effective yawn. And that's when things got really interesting. First, just because he was curious, he decided to cover, literally blot out, the gaping mouth so you couldn't see it on the video. And oddly, without a mouth, the same 55% of the audience yawned anyway.
That was a big surprise.
You mean if you can't see the mouth, you still want to yawn?
Yeah.
Weird. So why would people yawn at no gape at all? So Provine decided to double his bet. He designed a yawn that was only mouth.
Yes.
Just the mouth.
Just the mouth.
And it turned out that looking at no eyes, no head, just a big yawning hole of a mouth got fewer yawns back.
It was like, oh no, the whole project's going down the tubes.
Because if a gaping mouth does not trigger a yawn, what does? That's when Provine recalled that scientists have observed fetuses in the first trimester yawning in the womb. When they yawn in there, they also stretch, which brings up what is known as
the yawn-stretch complex.
That says yawns and stretches are profoundly related. For example, try this.
Next time you start to yawn, clench your teeth together. And don't open your jaw.
So you feel the yawn coming on, but if you stay clenched, you won't be able to complete your yawn.
Just like it's stuck. it can't resolve. Hmm. You've got to stretch the jaw. So there is this relationship between, you also see this pattern in dogs and cats, for example, and they're rousing, you know, they stretch and yawn.
So maybe, thought Provine, it's the stretch, the elongation of the face, that is the trigger that produces the yawn. After all, we all do it.
In fact, virtually all animals with backbones yawn. It's not just humans.
Really?
Snakes do it. Fish do it.
Cats do it. Dogs do it. So if you try and extend the stretch in a video, you make it go longer and further and you open wider, is that the trigger that produces more yawns?
Nope, it's not.
Didn't work? Not at all. He got no extra yawns. In fact, and this is sad, Provine discovered that showing nothing, just talking about yawns, say here on the radio.
Just as we are talking about yawning this very minute.
55% of our listeners are about to yawn.
We have already done it.
So for all his efforts, Robert Provine has been unable to create a yawn that beats the standard 55% response. Because apparently there is no primary trigger.
Like, you know, many things in nature, there's not a cause, there's a number of them.
And the precise combination that takes the yawn from me to you, stretching face muscles, tilting head, closing eyes, making a noise, he's tinkered, he's searched, but so far, he has not found the secret recipe. So while he dreamed of a doomsday yawn,
it didn't work out that way.
In fact, after all this, Robert Provine isn't even sure why we yawn. There are theories it's a way to cool off or change mood, or perhaps a yawn is a physical expression of our human ability to share, human empathy wired into a brain, although maybe not just our brains.
For example, if you see your dog or cat yawn, you're likely to yawn.
Although, what if your cat and dog were to see you yawn?
Yeah, now that is a more difficult issue.
Can a dog catch a yawn from a person? Provine says, I don't know.
Cosby, look.
But the very first couple I asked, Adrian and Wynn, Wynn's an NPR producer in New York City, when they went home and yawned straight at their dog, Cosby.
He just
okay.
did it.
He just did it.
It just worked. Oh, he's doing it again. He's just yawning. I mean, he looked over at Wynn and then looked over at me and just started yawning. And he actually did it twice.
It turns out the most mysterious thing about yawning is that it's so consistently mysterious. Robert Krulwich, NPR News.
He's just looking at me strangely.
I just am glad to know that I yawned about 15 times during that piece, and it's because I'm a sharing person.
There you go.
I just want to share with you guys.
Thanks, Mr. Krulwich.
Thanks for listening. I'm Robert Krulwich. Let's do this again, because, you know, I'm always here. And if you love science stories, we happen to have lots of them. Visit us at npr.org/science.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at acura.com.